Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's that time of the week. It's Doggy Pod time.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Doggy Pod. I'm Dr. Rob Zammit, and thank you for your compliments on the Doggy Pod. And it's all because of one man here with me, producer.
Yeah, my name's Stephen Peters. Thank you for that praise.
Well deserved, my friend. I'm telling you, a lot of people have been telling me.
A little less banter, a little more moving on.
Okay, people are, let's go.
Keen to hear
in this week's episode?
Yes, we're going to talk about the key factors that make your dog truly happy. Mm. You know, what makes the dog happy, and what can you do to put a smile on your dog's face every day that'll just make it happy?
Also, I do want to talk about feral dogs this week. Oh, do they exist, people ask me. We hear about feral cats. What about feral dogs? What happens? How do they get there?
And I've always wanted to know, with a lot of dogs, don't seem to recognise themselves in the mirror. They just kind of stare at the mirror and don't even notice that they're there. And other dogs seem to react quite strongly to their image in a mirror. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Why don't they recognise themselves?
And in my top five this week, I'll tell you the top five most bizarre dog names I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot over the years. I'll tell you some weird names.
I reckon you've probably heard some crackers. And sometimes people have introduced their dog to you and you've had to bite your tongue because it's such a bizarre name. You don't want to laugh. Speaking of what happens in the clinic, yep. How's the week been?
Well, I went in the other morning, and a very successful cesarean had been performed. There were six puppies, and unfortunately, my vet was very, very upset about it. And I said, what's wrong? He said, I've just checked them and I have to put three of these puppies to sleep. And it was true. They three of them had very severe cleft palates. Mm. The palate is the upper part of your mouth. And these were, it should be totally closed. These were totally opened from the nose right down to the back of the throat. And when you have a cleft palate like that, you cannot suckle. You cannot suck in milk and the puppy would fade away and die.
I was about to ask, why do you have to put it down?
They can't suckle. They'd have to be maybe tube fed. And the problem with puppies, tube feeding a puppy, of course, you've got to give them colostrum to start with. It's a lot of work and they will often get infections in that area, in that nose area. The nose mightn't develop properly. And as you know, the nose is the most important area of the dog. They live in the world of smell. So generally, with cleft palates, we tend not to let them live. And
is that unusual, getting three?
Well, that was the thing, half the litter. Yeah. And the lady said, "This is, you know, what have I done? Like, my genetics, it's, I can't believe it." So I always check everything. I said, it's not necessarily to do with your genetics. It can be food, would you believe? What they found in humans, and for many years, dog breeders, very smart people, dog breeders, for many years, they've said, if you're worried about cleft palates, give vitamin B. And most vets say, vitamin B, what's that got to do with it? Research has found in humans that do have cleft palates, it's because the mother has problems with metabolizing certain vitamin B properly. And vitamin B supplements can be given to avoid cleft palates. I never realized that till recently. Like, I knew about it with puppies. We'd done it many years ago with dogs. Didn't know it was also the same thing in humans and the reason for it. They don't metabolize the vitamin B and absorb it, and it leads to a cleft palate. So for those dog breeders out there, whenever you're going to breed your female, do put them on a vitamin B supplement. Well worthwhile. Maybe something like even like an Elevit, which is used in humans. It has vitamin B plus folic acid for neural tube defects, etc. Vitamin supplements, I've never been big on them. Never, you know, I always thought that dogs produce enough vitamins in their gut, which they do. But sometimes supplementing can help, and that's certainly one specific case.
Wow, that's very sad. Very sad for the owner of those dogs. Now, for people listening to our show right now with headphones on, you can probably hear that noise in the background, and that's because it's absolutely bucketing down rain right at the moment. But we're nice and snug and dry in Dr. Rob's surgery, which is where we record our weekly podcast. Now, I just wanted to talk about a happy dog. I mean, we just assume, I guess, that our dogs are happy. And you can notice some dogs, you can see them smiling.
They definitely
have a smile on their face. But are there things that we can do to our dogs, whether it be a little tickle on the tummy or something or other, or sort of things that are guaranteed that, you know, that's going to put a smile on my dog's face?
And some dogs will smile so hard, they raise their lips and they show all their teeth.
Which doesn't look like a smile.
Yeah, you often think, oh, the dog's growling at me, what's wrong? But no, dogs, and there's certain breeds that will do it. I mean, one breed that's well known for it is Dalmatians. They show all their teeth in their smile. And it's not, you know, people say, when you smile, make sure you smile big and show all your teeth and show your pearly whites. Some dogs will do just that, Stephen. Mm. It's not a growl. It's not, oh, I hate you, I'm snarling. They're not snarling, they're smiling. And you know, how do you make a dog happy? Yeah, firstly, we need to remember dogs live in the moment. Yeah, they're not like us. They're not, oh, why me? You know, why have I got this? Why don't I have that? Why has the dog down the road got a better bed than me? They don't live like that. They just are very happy to live the life they're leading with their owner that they love. The most important thing, the most important part of happiness for a dog is its owner. Its owner giving it some time. So the first thing you can do to put a smile in your dog's dial, give it a bit of your time. You know, just you're watching TV or you're reading a book or you're doing something. At some stage of your life, you should be relaxing. For your own sanity, you should be doing that. Bring your dog in. It'll lower your blood pressure and it'll bring you into a much happier place. It'll release endorphins just patting your dog. So do that for yourself.
But what about your dog, though?
Loves it. Loves the fact that it's with you. The other big thing, of course, is some industry, a walk. Now, a walk shouldn't be just strolling around, you know. The dog can do that, sure, and it'll smell and whatever, and that's great being with you. But if it's in a real walk with you, if it's finding industry with you, it's the pack. You know, dogs still have pack instinct deep down inside. So if it's out walking with you really fast, you know, a nice steady walk where it's not being distracted by smells. Yeah, there are smells there that wants to smell all those things. There are trees there that wants to whittle on every tree, but it's not going to stop because you're going to walk with industry in your mind. I've got to get to that next corner because my life depends on it. The dog walks with you and it's focused on you. The dog is now walking, focusing on the pack leader and loving it. If the dog goes for a walk like that for a good, you know, 20, 30 minutes and comes home, it goes, oh, I'm exhausted. Because it's been focusing on you.
And exhausted so and happy.
Happy, a happy exhaustion. It's found something to do for the day. And, it, you know, dogs spend most of their lives waiting for us. Their lives are short enough and they spend most of it waiting for us. It's good to give them that reason to wait for us and that happiness. Food, yeah, food's important, obviously, for survival. Mm. And some dogs are food-driven. Give me some food, give me some food. But at the end of the day, if that dog doesn't relate to you, then you've done something wrong. Mm. Now, dogs love their owners more than they love food even. And my pug is food-driven like nothing you will ever see. You should see the things I get him to do for food. But if I call him and walk, you know, run away while he's eating, what's wrong, what's wrong? And he'll take off, leave the food bowl and be with me to see what's wrong.
So is there such a thing as can dogs laugh? Can dogs giggle? I can't say I've ever seen it. I'm guessing probably not.
To some extent, yeah, it's as close to a laugh as I ever see when they get on their Mac and they show their teeth. Mm. They really are just about laughing, I think. They don't make that laugh sound that we make, but just about is. They're just about nodding their heads like they're laughing and accepting that, yeah, this is funny. This is really funny.
But generally, dogs generally are happy, aren't they?
Oh,
most of the time.
Happiest creatures on this land. They really are. People say, oh, dolphins are, and this and that and the other, but really, a dog is. Dogs mourn. You know, they grieve. Mm. We know that for a fact. There are great stories about, you know, dogs sitting on their owner's grave.
Just sitting there
looking after the grave because they're mourning. And they mourn when they lose another dog in the pack. If there's two dogs in the family and one goes, the other dog misses it, and you often have to treat them for it. You have to bring them out of their depression. But they eventually come out and they accept it and they get on with life and they're happy to be with you.
Okay, well, there you go. Now, have you ever wondered, you hear about feral cats and you see photos of feral cats that are the size of dogs, basically. Is there such a thing as a feral dog? Dogs that just live in the wild, that are probably interbred with other dogs and pets that have left home and never come back. I mean, here in Australia, of course, we have dingoes. Now, I don't know if they're classed as a feral dog, are they?
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. If they are a feral dog, then the governments can shoot them out and make them extinct as a species. If they are a wild dog, then they're a native dog and we shouldn't be doing that.
Which is what they are.
What I believe they are, and we're actually doing research to prove it.
Okay, research as in DNA, genealogy.
Oh, a few things. We're looking at the DNA, we're looking at the metabolism as well of dogs, and we're looking at the behaviour of dogs compared to dingoes. So we're looking at those three things to generate a paper to find out, are dingoes a true wild dog that's a native dog in Australia that we're trying to tame somewhat? Or are they a domesticated dog, just like your dog in the backyard that's gone wild? Because that presents a bigger problem to us.
Because they would have been living with indigenous families going back thousands of years,
correct.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. And where do they trace back? Where do their origins trace back? But, yes, we do get feral dogs. That's different again. And, in fact, let me tell you this, the dog in your backyard is capable of becoming a feral dog. I live on the outskirts of a large city you may have heard of called Sydney. I'm on the outskirts of it on acreage, and I have seen dogs that can get out of their backyards because not everyone has fences. They form a little pack and off they go hunting and killing animals on acreage. So not fencing your dog in can cause it to act in a feral way, in a feral manner.
Killing what sort of animals? Like
sheep and in the area, alpacas and all sorts of other animals that they can get hold of and even calves, etc.
So that's just reverting to
being a pack because they're not being cared for properly in a family environment. However, you can get dogs that go off and form packs and stay out there and never go back home. And breed and become feral. Some of them join native dogs like dingoes and cross with them and continue hunting in packs and causing a lot of damage. Our graziers can tell you lots about it. Our graziers out there with sheep, with big flocks of sheep, have seen dogs bringing down some of their sheep. And, you know, it's pretty nasty way of for dog, a domestic dog having to survive. But that's what else can they do?
So there are dogs out there just living wild.
Feral dogs, oh yeah.
Feral dogs.
Yeah, very much so. And it does happen, and we try and stop that. Unfortunately, they will shoot them because these dogs are very hard to just catch and make them tame again, domesticate them again. It's very, very difficult. You can do it. It can be done if people take the time. But, of course, with what happens out west, people will certainly destroy these dogs rather than try and domesticate them again.
So I guess, a dog, once it gets a taste for, you know, sounds dreadful to say, but a taste for blood and killing an animal,
is it the taste? It's just survival.
It's just survival,
I need that blood, I need that food, if you like. Yeah, so that tends to be what occurs. They need food to survive, and that's the way the easiest ones are the ones that, oh, look, all those sheep are all corralled up for us. Let's get one of those rather than go chasing rabbits through the pastures and, you know, breaking a leg trying to hunt a kangaroo. I think sheep are much easier targets than in our environment than trying to hunt a kangaroo or a wallaby. So they'll go for those. So yes, feral animals do exist, both cats and dogs. And dogs continue to be a presence in probably every part that where there's farms. Then people do have feral animals around.
So would those dog breeds then be quite a hardy breed because, you know... They...
Well, the ones that survive, yeah. It does become a Darwinian survival of the fittest, for sure. It does do that. But I think there's been a lot less of them over the last years. Back in the 50s and 60s, 1950s and 1960s, there were a lot of wild dogs around, you know, wild feral dogs.
Wow.
Whereas nowadays, I think we've decreased the numbers greatly as far as canines are concerned, more than felines.
Now, from feral dogs to dogs that live in the house a lot, and that's probably most of our dogs. What's the story with some dogs when they see themselves in the mirror, they just refuse to accept that that's them? They just won't even look at themselves. Yet other dogs will bark at what they perceive to be another dog in their space, yet it's actually them. What's the story with a mirror? Is there some weird spell that a mirror casts over a dog?
I think there's a weird spell that a mirror casts over people because scientists decided they're going to test this on all sorts of animals. Chimpanzees, orangutans, dolphins, cats, dogs. They do all sorts of tests.
With mirrors?
With mirrors, because mirrors are such fascinating things, I guess. You know, you become narcissistic enough, you get lost in your mirror, don't you? But dogs look in the mirror and just see a strange shape there. It's not them because it doesn't smell like them. Dogs, remember, live in a world of smell. And now they're seeing a thing that looks like a dog but doesn't smell like a dog.
So they don't accept it because it doesn't smell, because that image doesn't
have the smell. It, a dog will recognise you because of your smell, not because of how you look. If a dog goes blind and there's someone coming into the house, I think, oh, it's you, that's okay. Dog doesn't care that it's blind. It can smell you and it knows who's coming into the house. If it's a stranger, they'll smell it and they, who's there? They'll bark, you know, to say, there's someone there, Dad, there's someone there. Please come and get them. So dogs will live in that sense of smell, and that's the strangest creature, this creature that's walking around on this flat thing.
One-dimensional plane.
Which doesn't have a smell. Yeah, that would be pretty dreadful. It'd be looking like us looking at something that's black and moving around. We can't see the shape of it. What is it?
But some dogs don't seem to even recognise like the shape, as you say, or anything.
I think they learn to accommodate after a while. They think, that crazy thing's in there and just keeps looking at me because I'm so handsome, I guess. But look at that crazy thing in that flat with no smell, poor thing. They probably start feeling sorry for it.
But so you think they would recognise that shape being a dog and they'd recognise eyes and the whatever, but it's the smell that's the lack of that's throwing them.
Yeah, I guess I do see dogs recognising their own breed. That's really strange, but you do see it. Dogs seem to recognise their own breed, and I just wonder, is that the smell or the shape or a bit of both? I'm not sure. I guess dogs that are brought up with that one shape, you know, like a German Shepherd being brought up with just German Shepherds, recognises that shape and that's, you know, that's it. If they see another dog, and it's a dog, I know that from the smell, but look at that weird shape. Oh, my gosh, isn't he ugly? Not like me, I'm handsome. That's what they must be saying, I guess. But that I've seen many dogs recognise their own breed, and other breeds they're not so fond of, just not so fond of. So there is something about the shape, of course, but ultimately it's the smell.
All gets back to the smell every time with a dog, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's time for that special little segment that gets everybody talking, and that is Dr. Rob's Top 5. Now, Dr. Rob's been a veggie for a long time. I don't want to say how long because that would be unfair, but to him, of course, because he's a little bit older than most of us, you know. But he's been around for a long time, and he has probably examined tens of thousands of dogs in his career. And he would have heard every name under the sun, I would have thought. But what are the top 5 just way out wacky dog names that somebody's given their beloved pets. So let's...
So we're just going to go to the top five, which means I'm going to take out Pork Chop, I'm going to take out Fufu, Kit Kat's out, Jemima Puddle Duck is gone, and Hammerhead. They're all gone. Okay, we're only going to go with the five.
Because you're only going to stick with the five, the as five. You always do. Yes. Yeah.
So right. Pork Chop, Fufu, Kit Kat, Jemima Puddle Duck, and Hammerhead are gone.
Hammerhead. I want to know what sort of dog Hammerhead was now. Anyway, no, we're going to be distracted, as we always tend to do with Dr. Rob's top five. Okay, so... The top five most bizarre dog names you have ever heard, coming in at number five.
Well, it's a common one, but Difa. Yeah, Difa dog. Difa dog. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's pretty wacky, and yes.
This name represents a lot of names like this. The name is Attitude. And I've heard a lot of dogs named Dynamite and Explosive, but I've heard a dog come in, his name was Attitude, because that's what he had.
The dog's name was Attitude.
Attitude. But there are a lot of dogs' names just with Attitude as well. So
that was number four, was Attitude, coming in at number three.
No, it gives me a headache. Aspirin. Don't ask me why they called it Aspirin, but it was Aspirin.
Was it a little dog? Do you remember?
Aspirin was, he was a big, bouncy, happy dog, and they called him Aspirin. I don't know why.
Given them lots of headaches. Coming in at number two.
This dog was imported. He was a Labrador, and... His name was Wrong Way Head. I'm sorry, that was his name.
Wrong Way Head.
Yes, that was his name.
Did he look all right? Did he have a funny head?
He was fine. He was a beautiful dog and he had lovely temperament. Wrong Way was a gorgeous dog, but that was Wrong Way Head.
Wrong Way Head. My God, I love it. I love it. Wrong Way Head. Okay, which leaves only one more name. So out of all the dogs you've seen over the years, this is the one with the wackiest name at number one is...
I couldn't understand why he did this. He had a little dog and he had a big dog. You know what they were called? Dog. Dog. I mean, that's terrible.
It does seem very unfair.
It reminds me of the story, of course, of the robber that went into the house and he heard, it was all dark, and he hears this voice say, "Jesus is watching." Looks around, what's that there? Keeps going, goes, "Jesus is watching," looks around, "Who said that?" And the cockatoo says, that was me, Moses. Moses? Who calls a bird Moses? The same person who called the Rottweiler Jesus.
Okay, that's really cruel. Anyway, dog, there you go, dog.
Dog. Mm.
All right, thank you very much for listening to the Doggy Pod this week. We hope you've had a few laughs and maybe learned a thing or two.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week, every Friday, as you know, a new episode comes out.
In the meantime, I want you to think about something. What do dogs do on their day off? Surely they can't lie around. They do that on their day on. See you, folks.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.